Good evening, my fine folks, and welcome to the Midnight Silo. Whether you're on a long drive home, comfortably resting in front of a cozy fire, or perhaps trying to bury a deep, dark secret that could potentially come back to haunt you, well, you've come to the right place. I've got some interesting stories for you tonight, so let's get started. I would like to thank you for joining me on my first episode of Midnight Silo Show. I'm your host, Jeremiah Jones, and I'm here with my co-host, Zachariah Ward.
How y'all fun folks doing?
And you know, we're here to entertain you fine folks with some ghost stories and tales that you tell around the fire when you were a young boy growing up out there in the woods. And you know, our goal is to maybe have you relive those fond memories.
Sort of invoke some type of fear you felt.
Exactly. So we're going to go ahead and get started. This is our first episode, so we appreciate you stopping by and, you know, being patient with us while we kind of work out some things. You know, this is a part of the Secret Silo Network. So if you have any suggestions for us, you could email us at secretsiloshow.com. So if you five folks want to sit back and relax, you can hear some tales of terror that we have in store for you. Now, keep in mind, some of these tales have come to us in the form of journal entries or audio recordings that we may have transcribed into a text format. Just all tales of terror that we've come across one way or another through the bunker, the condemned zone, a side of the bunker that we decided to shut down, but, you know, nature or something, whatever you might want to call it, finds a way, and they've created a new society.
Mm-hmm.
So as we've said before, the condemned zone has run rampant through the bunker. They've evolved along with otherworldly entities. We often receive messages from within the zone, and sometimes even from the other side. So, Zachariah Ward now is going to read you one of those entries.
So, we got one of them journal entries for you. It says, Journal Entry 1, Floor 27. Now, here we go. I woke up today and it was dark. Not only that, I couldn't find any of my furniture. In fact, my floor had been replaced with concrete. It was cold, it was dark, and it was silent. There was only a door. I walked to the door and it led to the usual hallway, but there was no carpet or that tacky wallpaper. It was as if everything was taken away, and I somehow slept through it. I knocked on the other doors. No answer. Just silent. I'm going to explore for a bit. I hear someone talking in the distance. I'm going to see if they know anything. Journal Entry Number 2, Floor 27. As days have passed, trying to find answers to my questions and what's been happening within the building, I fear I'll never fully be able to grasp the secrecy within. As I pace throughout the hall, staring at the same walls I've looked at each day, something seems different. It seems almost eerie, or hair-raising. It's almost as if every time I close my eyes, something changes through the night. When I wake up, things are gone. Things have moved, and not the normal things that can be moved by animals. More so things disappearing abnormally. Journal Entry Number 3, Floor 27. The noise I heard wasn't actually a man speaking. It was only my imagination. I thought I saw a man, but I guess my eyes were just playing tricks on me. With the darkness. I'm not sure where all my neighbors disappeared to. All I know is, I'm all that's left. It's so cold. I woke up today and my clothes are gone. I'm not even sure how many days I've been in here. I can't find a way out. I'm so tired. I want to sleep, but I'm scared of what else can be taken away. I'm going to keep looking in case there was something I missed. Journal Entry Number 4. Floor 27. They now take in my eyes.
Well, my fine folks, that's the first tale. It's a journal entry that we received the other day. And I gotta say, I don't know what's happening on the other side of that there doors, but something not good, something ominous, that's for sure, Zachariah. What do you think about that?
Well, I'd like to say that, I do fear for this poor soul. I don't know what's going on, but it seems like something took away everything, even this poor soul's eyes. Hopefully, this person's still alive.
Now, one thing I gotta say before we move on, we've been receiving these journal entries for quite a while now. I don't know what's going on the other side of that, the quarantine zone doors, but you know they've made almost like an entire city, but it's almost endless. You know, we'll get floor 27, but then we'll get floor 667, and then floor 2089. It doesn't make sense. There's no way in hell there's that many floors, but those are the entries we're getting, and we're too scared to open those doors ourselves, Zachariah.
No, you're damn straight we're not. Kind of almost like the, like how the boys talk over there about the back rooms.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But
I don't think anyone can survive in the back rooms for too long, so it might be some sort of other anomaly.
It's almost like if the back rooms themselves were an SCP.
Could say that.
But that also being said, too, they've also gone above ground and built themselves a watchtower so they can see things that not even happening within our own silo, but we know there's otherworldly phenomena happen outside this silo. And the next story we have to tell is one of those stories, so we're going to get into that now.
All right.
This one is called Forest. It once was an audio format, but they transcribed it into a text form so we could read it off to you guys. After years of hard work, I finally got the home I've dreamed of. It's not your typical home in a nice suburb, but in fact, it's as isolated as it could possibly be. It's in the middle of a forest. I found this particular spot about 10 years ago while hiking. It was my bi-monthly getaway from the city when things ended up too stressful. I love this spot because it was on a hill overlooking a sea of trees. The fog would roll in such a beautiful way that, you know, words can't describe. I told myself years ago that I'd eventually build a home here, which would be the perfect getaway. The finishing touches were applied a week ago and I arrived yesterday morning. I felt the need to reflect on this euphoric feeling and the best sleep I've had in years. I have a special made room of glass that acts as like a viewing room of the overpass. Below me, I built a pool too on ground level. I plan to swim after riding this because it's a nice and hot day despite being shaded by trees. I just got done swimming, but I stopped early because I had this uneasy feeling that I was being watched. Despite keeping my ears open and staring into the woods for a long time, I never saw anything that would have made me feel this way. Whatever animal it was had a great level of stillness. I figured this would happen since I'm deep in the woods. I'm bound to come across bears and wolves. But usually they aren't very stealthy. But I shook it off. Later that evening, I fell asleep with the window open to the sounds of nature. The room is too high up for an animal, so I felt safe. Only issue is I woke to the sound of branches breaking. Loudly and rapidly. As if something large was crashing through the low-hanging branches. And then silence. And I mean, dead silence. No other animals, no trees creaking, no wind. The only thing I could hear is my heartbeat ready to burst through my chest. I attempted to peer into the darkness despite my instincts telling me to stay put. Naturally, I couldn't see much. The only light I had was from the moon, and that only went so far. It took me an hour of intently listening before I finally felt comfortable enough to sleep. The next morning, I decided to investigate by venturing into the woods. All I had to arm myself was a hatchet, but the curiosity of everything was eating at me. Sure enough, I didn't have to venture far and I witnessed a ton of broken branches all along the forest floor. Whatever did this created a trail of destruction. I wasn't feeling brave enough to follow the trail and certainly wasn't brave enough when I heard the howling start. The noise of it chilled me to the bone. It felt as if my soul was trying to escape and every hair on my body stood on its end. It wasn't quite a wolf howl, similar, but something about it just didn't feel right. Something as if it was layered with different octaves of howling. But the creepiest part of the tone is part of it sounded like a woman screaming. With that, I decided not to stick around and ran back home. I got back to the glass room and silently stared into the woods to see if I could see any movement, but nothing. Not even a leaf fell. Not sure how much time had passed, but I felt like I was in a daze and the only thing that brought me back out of it was the sound of a loud crashing noise I heard in the opposite direction. I ran to the front of the house and cautiously looked out the window. Fuck. Whatever this thing is, it's strong. My vehicle slipped on its side and the window's all smashed. Shit, it's walking on the porch. I can hear its heavy footsteps creeping closer to the door. I back away slowly towards my room, but my foot causes the wood flooring beneath me to creak. I stop and I hear nothing. But then the footsteps outside start moving faster and faster and louder and louder. In a panic, I turn and run to the room and slam the door. Moments later, I hear a crashing and growling towards the front of the house. The door to this room won't do me much good. I hide in my closet and the lights are off. I use the hatchet to try to wedge the door shut. I can hear the door to my room creaking with stress applied to it from the creature. And a moment later, I hear a popping noise and the door swung open. Underneath the closet, I can see the shadow of a beast roaming in my room in search of me. I can hear it growling in a low but constant and ominous tone. Then the shadows stop in front of my door. I hold my breath. Unfortunately, it knows I'm here. It starts howling in that same tone when I heard earlier. But since it's so close, it's goddamn deafening. I cover my ears by the sheer pain I felt in that tone. These are bound to be my last few moments. Following this last message, the only thing that the recorder was able to pick up was a crashing noise, more than likely the door opening, continued growling and screaming. The screaming trailed off as if it was being dragged away, and then nothing. It's assumed the device kept recording until the battery ran out. When I found this device, the home was badly smashed up. I have no idea what creature was capable of this level of destruction, but I advise you to avoid these parts of the woods at all costs. Well, my fine folks, that's another horrifying tale of something happening in the woods that was seen from the watchtower. A little device was recovered, and there's something destructive going on out there in the woods.
Something otherworldly, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Some kind of beast beyond our imaginings, I'd say.
Mm. There's no idea what it is, but I can tell you now, whatever that beast was attacking, that person, not with us anymore.
No trail of him left, that's for sure.
Mm-mm.
All right, my fine folks, we have one last story for you today. And it's another transcript from the quarantine zone, and my fine fellow Zachariah here is gonna read it for you.
All right, this is Floor 9.
I've gathered some of my neighbors to play a game similar to the classic Bloody Mary. This one is a little more obscure though. He goes by the name Outlandish. Sounds quite silly, which is why I know I can convince more people to join. The underlying fear of Bloody Mary won't scare them away. The only similarity is using a mirror. After I gather 9 of them, and we've had a few drinks in us, I explain to them the ritual. 8 people gather a mirror and prop it up behind them. With a lit candle in the center, as the 8 sit in a circle, 1 taps the mirror in clockwise order. Each of us in unison chant, "Through the darkness, through the mirror, find the candle, and come near." The legend goes that Outlandish hears the tapping on each mirror to locate, and then from there, he seeks the faint light of the candle. We continue this chant for what feels like a minute. I notice the tapping seems louder, and our voices feel more distant. I also no longer recognize my friend that was tapping the mirror. He's taller, more slender. I can barely see his face in the candlelight, but I know it's not him. Someone is now missing from the circle, but the mirror still stands. I can see the reflection in the mirror, but they aren't in front of me any longer. The tapping grows louder, and on the friend to my left, it looks as if his face is melting. But that can't be right. Another to his left is missing an arm and half her face. Candle flickers. I try to call out because it's starting to scare me, but can't speak. My mouth is no longer there. The reflections in the mirror are facing away, but have started reverberating. One by one, everyone around me starts to disappear. I hear a muffled scream. It's hard to hear over the now deafening tapping. The ceiling starts to bleed. I look up, and it's one of my neighbors, somehow stuck to the roof. She's missing the lower half of her jaw, and her eyes are unmoving with the look of terror. Someone fell to the center, barely missing the candle. Another stood up and stomped his head until it was a pulpy mess.
Someone started laughing hysterically while clawing her eyes out. I saw a man break all of his fingers and then chew them down to the bone. I no longer recognized anyone. Can't remember how I got here, why this was happening. All I know is there's a tall, slender man tapping the mirrors, and he's smiling at me. And that in this moment, that was the most outlandish thing I've ever seen.
Well, let that be a lesson to you. Maybe don't mess around with rituals that you aren't quite prepared for.
I'd say don't mess around with, any rituals, that is.
Mm-hmm. Like, we all love our Ouija boards and our Bloody Marys, you know, with a group of friends, and you know, we love our thrill seekers, but some forces are not to be reckoned with.
Mm-mm. Not one bit, I'd say. Especially if you, any ritual comes from, you know, a more, otherworldly type of being. There's rituals that summon them. Every ritual is like Ouija boards, Bloody Marys, Candyman, all that terrible, terrible stuff. But kids nowadays in this new generation seem as if it's just a game, some fairy tale. But I'd like to tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, it's not a fairy tale. This comes from real beings, real otherworldly beings that do not wish to be tempted.
Exactly, my fine folks. So best to avoid them. Now, I'm just getting this in right now. As Zachariah was telling the story, we actually have one last story for you. Leave this on a bit of a departure for today's first episode. Now, this one is just titled The Stalker. So, you know, think about that next time you're in the woods surrounded by buddies. Are you alone in the woods? We don't know. But keep your eyes out. Keep your ears to the ground. So me and my buddy, we just graduated high school, right? And we live out in the Pacific Northwest. It's quite wooded out here. And one of the things that many of us do is we venture out into the woods, whether it's the good kids who want to get into maybe search and rescue, things of that nature, or you got the bad kids who just want to go into the woods and drink and smoke weed and do all that stuff, right? So we just freshly graduated, me and my buddy. We venture out to a small town before the hike to load up on whatever supplies we might need. The clerk was clearly bored on his phone as he rang me up. I asked if he knew any good hikes in the area. He let out a mildly irritated sigh. You know, I'm sure he gets that a lot. A ton, actually. I just did it to kind of mess with him. I know all the good hikes. But the awkward silence in the air was getting to me. He says, I don't know, try Sin Rostro Lake off mile marker 22. He doesn't even bother looking up at me one time. I say thanks and head off. Originally, I was going to go to Green Mountain, but this hike is actually before, and strangely, I've never seen this trail at all. Like, I'm super familiar with this area, but Sin Rostro Lake? I've never even heard of that. So after a while of driving, we knew mile marker for 22 and slow down. Sure enough, it was a trailhead, as the clerk said. No signs, but obviously there was one. After walking a short distance into the trail, I found a sign on the forest floor that said Sin Rostro Lake, 2.7 miles, with an arrow pointing up. We were on the right trail, but I don't know why this sign was torn off. Probably just some dickheads. Mike and I decided to move through the woods, taking in the sights and silence, but that's when I noticed it. It was quiet, yes, but I mean like dead silent. No wind moving through the trees, no birds chirping, nothing. Even in the silence of the woods, there is like some form of ambience, but just nothing. And this really unnerved me. As we got deeper into the trail, the atmosphere felt more suppressive. Shadows seemed to grow larger, darkness was deeper, and it felt much colder than it should, even for a hot summer day. I almost suggested turning back, but then I noticed a clearing up ahead, and sure enough, that's where the lake was. Mike and I sat down and relaxed for a bit, but it was hard to relax. It felt like something was watching me. No matter where I looked, there was no sign of movement or even life. This was supposed to be a relaxing adventure, but now I just wanted to be done with as quickly as possible. Mike started to say something, but he quickly stopped when he heard three distinctive thumps coming from the woods. Thump, thump, thump. We sat silently. Thump, thump, thump. There it was again. It seemed so distant but close, enough to rattle my bones. And then a branch snapped loudly. I whipped my head to the direction of the sound and saw a faint shadow of something large. We both stood up immediately. A loud and deeply harrowing shriek came from the shadowy figure. We both ran immediately down the trail as fast as humanly possible. Sadly, whatever that was followed, and the distant thumping grew louder and louder. It was gaining on us. Thump, thump, thump. There was no way we were going to make it. Mike knew it too and frantically suggested climbing one of the trees. We did it as quickly and quietly as we could, using each branch as momentum for the next. The thumping continued. Thump, thump, thump. Once we were sat high enough, Mike motioned for me to stop. It was right below us. I couldn't see it too clearly with all the leaves and branches in the way, but this thing was large. More tall than wide, and with mangled and twisted antlers with what looked like flesh dangling off of it. That's all I could see, and I continued to hold my breath. I looked over at Mike, who was staring down and wide-eyed. We waited, motionless and barely breathing, for what felt like hours, but I'm sure it was only like, I don't know, 20 seconds. This thing started making a chuffing noise and then darted off into the woods at a speed that didn't seem possible. Breaking branches in its wake, Mike continued to stare wide-eyed. I finally whispered him, "Mike, should we go?" No response. "Mike, let's go." I started to climb down and he silently followed. We cautiously made our way down the trail in complete silence. Not only were we cautious and making noise, but in case the creature was near, but also we were both stuck in our own heads trying to fathom what the fuck we just saw. Eventually, we made it back to our vehicles, and that was the most silent car ride I have ever experienced. Only the humming of the car tires on the pavement filled the void. Ever since, I've experienced horrible nightmares about being stalked in the woods and seeing a horned creature. Sadly, Mike, after that, got heavily into drugs and drinking after that day. He eventually overdosed. Whatever it was that he saw haunted him. He must have had a much better view than me. Well, I don't know if that has anything to do with the first creature we saw, but might be in the same neck of woods about a large horned creature that could tear you to pieces or drive you insane.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, my fine folks, this has been the first episode of Midnight Silo Show. Take with what you will with those stories, and we'll see you on the next episode. Any parting words, Zachariah, for our fine folks?
Yeah, I do have a few to say. Don't go to any trail or any woods you aren't familiar with. Also, don't perform any rituals you would see on any part of the internet or what people talk about. Probably be the biggest takeaway of this here episode.
Yes, fine advice, my friend, fine advice. Be safe out there, my fine folks. As Zachariah said, don't go performing rituals and stay out of them deep woods. And then we'll see you on the next episode of Midnight Silo.
Stay safe, everyone.